Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide for Friday, May 19. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, how Major League Baseball handled their Durham report a century ago. Well, this week we received the report on matters related to intelligence activities and investigations arising out of the 2016 presidential campaigns, otherwise known as the Durham Report, named after lead investigator Judge John H. Durham, and if we can take the hyperbole and personalities out of this discussion, admittedly that's hard to do, but if we can, we'll realize that we've all seen this kind of thing before. Scandal has been a part of this country's history almost since the beginning. And it's not the scandal that matters as much as how we react to it. Let me tell you a story of just such a scandal that occurred in baseball and how our national pastime almost fell apart. The year was 1919, and it was the World Series between the Chicago White Sox and the Cincinnati Reds. Rumors had been rife for days that the Sox had thrown the game. A group of gamblers had conspired to bribe the Sox players to lose. 8 of the Chicago players agreed to let Cincinnati win. But people talk, and soon the word got around the clubhouse that some of the White Sox players had indeed agreed to throw the series. Upstairs, the press box had heard these rumors and was able to follow the conspiracy in real time. Sports writer Hugh Fullerton of the Chicago Herald and Examiner and Hall of Fame player Christy Matheson watched as the Chicago pitcher wound up and threw the opening pitch for the series. Smack! It hit the batter square in the back, just like Fullerton and Matheson had predicted. This was a sign that the fix was in, and indeed, the Chicago players would let Cincinnati win the World Series. But the press box wasn't the only place that had heard these rumors and knew that the hit batter was the tip-off. Across the country, professional gamblers went all in for a Cincinnati victory. The odds changed from solidly in favor of Chicago to now suddenly solidly for Cincinnati. It was this sudden and decisive change in batting that let those on the inside know that a Cincinnati victory was a certainty. Unfortunately, most Americans were totally unaware of the chicanery that lay behind this Cincinnati World Series victory. To the average American citizen of the day, another baseball champion had been crowned, just like happened so many times before. "Hail to the victor," went one side. "Wait till next year," said the other. You see, 1919 wasn't that much different from 2020. Many of us felt the same after the most recent presidential election. Hail to the victory, or wait until next time. Those same sentiments were said a century after baseball's biggest scandal. But for baseball, those rumors of corruption continued to grow. Finally, a player broke and confessed to the entire scheme, and a grand jury was impaneled, and the whole tawdry story was laid out for all of us to see. And that's exactly where we are today. The grand jury has just released their results. That's the 316 pages of excruciating detail that Judge Durham and his attorneys have detailed how a far-reaching conspiracy accused Donald Trump of colluding with Russia to win the 2020 presidential election when it was just the reverse. The Durham report categorically states that there was no basis for the investigation, that no predicate, quote-unquote, existed, that all the subsequent investigations into the Russian collusion, quote-unquote, and the Donald Trump campaign were based on unfounded speculation and should have not been allowed to proceed. Now, from that point on, the Durham report goes on to detail the various methods and misstatements of the conspiracy to defraud an election. It's a tawdry piece of history that is now laid bare for all of us to see. In the baseball scandal of 100 years ago, the players were well known. They had names like Chuck Gandell, Shoeless Joe Jackson, Red Faber, and Eddie Collins. They were as famous then as any celebrity or politician is today. Many fans were no doubt crushed to hear that their favorite player was involved in this scandal. No doubt some Americans wanted the scandal to just disappear. At least one of those players, Shoeless Joe Jackson, was destined for the Hall of Fame. To pursue this scandal would scuttle his chances for a spot in Canton, Ohio. But the baseball owners would have none of that kind of compromise. They knew that if this scandal was allowed to stand, it would infect the entire game. For years, baseball's governing body, the National Baseball Commission, had grown soft. Petty corruption was rampant, and small violations were usually met with a wink and a nod. The relationship between bookies and players were well known, so that the Black Sox scandal was just one more step on a long road that baseball had been traveling for some time. But this time it was different, if for no other reason than the owners themselves recognized that the scandal threatened the very existence of baseball. Everyone in America had become aware that the 1919 World Series was a fake. The American values of fair value and honest play had been overturned by this Chicago team. The term Black Sox, instead of White Sox, was now an everyday expression of those who cheat. The reputation of the game itself was now at stake. There was a very real possibility that if the owners let this scandal stand, all of baseball might fail. If Major League Baseball lost the support of their fans, the American people, it was lights out, a true existential threat to baseball. Now, fortunately for us, the team owners recognized the threat, and their first step was to abolish the thoroughly corrupt National Baseball Commission. In its place, they brought in a hard-headed judge from Indiana named Kennesaw Mountain Landis. Named after a famous battle in the Civil War, Kennesaw Mountain, Landis proved to be the right-thinking, iron-fisted administrator that baseball needed to get out of this mess. His first action was to ban all of the players involved from ever playing in the major leagues again. And as we noted, this ban was also extended to their ever becoming members of the Hall of Fame. It was harsh punishment, but it sent the message to all other would-be cheats that baseball would never again permit that kind of behavior. Landis went on to preside over Major League Baseball for the next quarter century, and during that time, not a whiff of scandal would ever come to baseball. Today, we are living in a time just like baseball's defining moment, a time when we, the American people, must decide to right a terrible scandal that has infected our political system. Today, Russiagate has gained the same approbation as Black Sox. We must recognize the existential threat that this scandal has on how we elect our presidents. To root out this evil may involve some of our favorite players, politicians whom we root for and support. We need to get over that, just as the White Sox fans of long ago had to get over their favorite players. If our favorite politicians are banned for life, so be it. It is the price we need to pay to preserve this nation. A century ago, Major League Baseball had the courage and foresight to turn over a corrupt governing body and bring in a real reformer to sweep from the game those who would corrupt it. Do we have the same courage and foresight today? And that's The Value Side for Friday, May 19. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. Value Side is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.